Welcome to the Top Advisor Marketing Podcast, brought to you by Proudmouth. I'm your host, Matt Halloran. Being your own loud is not new to marketing, but the mindset, strategies, and resources to help you get there are evolving faster than this industry is keeping up. It is time to find a new perspective on what works, why, and how to move your business forward. Listen as I interview guests to help you learn from them how to be your own loud. Let's get to the show. Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Halloran. This is a first for us here at Proudmouth for a couple of different reasons. One of the reasons is because our guest today is actually a referral from my wife. I just have to say that out loud, that we were listening to an unbelievable podcast called Ologies, and John Booker was the guest. What was the title? Was it Storyology?
Mythology.
Yeah. And so I loved the show and I thought John was super cool. And Angela, my wife, says, why don't you just reach out to him? And I was like, dude, he's really important and really famous and all this stuff. And within 48 hours, we had booked this show, and I'm so happy to have you on. It's okay. So there, I'm done fanboying for a minute, but here's the deal. So we talk about the perfect content formula here all the time. Storytelling, education, entertainment, call to action. That is the foundation of what we do and what we help our clients with at Proudmouth. But we've never had a professional storyteller on to help all of you learn how to tell better stories. John, welcome to the show, man.
Matt, it is a delight to be with you today. I also love venturing out into other areas that I don't always get to be a part of, and shout out to your wife for bringing me into the fold. But I'm really excited to talk to your audience. I think we have a lot of common interests, and also I think there are things we can learn from each other.
So let's set the foundation here. So you're a highly sought after story consultant. Can you explain a little bit about what that means and maybe give some people some examples of what you have done and where they might have seen some of your work?
Absolutely. Matt, I really found a secret that has been so helpful to me a few years ago, and I stopped narrowing my work down to a single job description, and I started embracing my work as an ecosystem, and at the center of that ecosystem is storytelling. So some days, I'm in the mountains of consulting with professionals who are writing television scripts or writing movie scripts. I, on other days, am in the pastures of public speaking, and I'm speaking to, say, the leadership at Nickelodeon Studios, or on another day, I'm working with the leadership at Paramount Studios. And yet on another day, I may be over in the deserts of book writing, where I'm working on what I have to say to the world and putting that out in book format. And then still in other days, I may be in the caves of contemplation, where I'm just researching and studying and trying to get that next big idea that I want to share with people. And Matt, I have found that every single one of these areas is essential to what I do. I think one of the big mistakes we make is trying to create this very unilateral experience for ourselves in the work we do in the world. And if you approach your work as an ecosystem, as long as you have something in the center of that ecosystem that is the grounding. In old ancient myths, they used to call this the axis mundi, which meant the belly button of the earth. It was like where all life came out of. But I'll tell you something, one last thing about my work that I've discovered when it comes to storytelling. And this can be whether I'm consulting with some sort of talent here in Hollywood that's writing a tell-all book, or I'm working with an individual who wants to design a board game that's using storytelling elements, or even a magician who is going to be on television and wants to really up their storytelling abilities in that respect. What I've found is my ecosystem only works if I've got fresh streams bringing new water and new life into that ecosystem, but just as importantly, that I've got streams carrying out the waste. So one of the practices as a good storyteller that I do is every week I try to quit something. Now, I know that sounds weird, right? But here's the thing. Ooh. I try and quit something every week because I am one of those people that loves to say yes. I love telling people yes. And I've had to exercise that no muscle in order to make it strong enough that I can say no to the work that is the good that keeps me from the best. And allowing waste to run out of my ecosystem. Some weeks it's giving up Splenda and I'll be like, no Splenda for me this week. Other weeks I'll resign from a board that I'm a part of. But whatever it is, I want to make sure I'm constantly making room in that ecosystem that new stories can come in, as well as letting the old stories that aren't serving me anymore flow right out of the ecosystem.
I want to thank you for saying yes to this one and that I wasn't part of the chopping block there. But what a perfect opening, because you just illustrated like 20 different components of magnificent and engaging storytelling, with everything from alliteration to imagery to bridging different things together to make it so that people saw what you were trying to communicate in their mind's eye. So here's the deal. What makes a good story?
There are three key elements that I always look for in a story. Now, this is not to say that there are not other elements that are helpful or other things that we could bring in, but there are three key things that I look for in a story. One has to do with the character. Every story has a compelling character. Have you ever heard of a story that didn't have at least one character in it? Even when you hear stories about animals or clouds or mountains, they're personified. They become characters in the story. There's something to giving an identity element to the story that people resonate with. People love stories about other people. The second thing that I look for in a story is a problem. Conflict is essential to storytelling. If you don't have a problem or some sort of conflict in the story, you just have a scenario. And a scenario can be interesting, but most of the time a scenario is pretty boring. I have a friend who is no longer with us anymore, but he used to say that a scenario is a cat lying on a blanket, but a story is a cat lying on a dog's blanket. Because now we've got characters and we've got conflict, and this thing has some sort of traction to it. There's movement to it. The third and final thing, though, that I look for in a story is a theme. What is this story trying to say? What can I take from this story into my life? What can I do with this information that I've been giving? I believe that even though it may be super, super subtle, every story has a call to action. Every story is inviting us to be a little bit different than we were before we engaged that story. So if a story is just meant for entertainment, that's great, but I believe even stories that are just meant to entertain have a very subtle invitation to us to be something different.
How wildly applicable are all of those three things to what financial advisors do in their practice every day? So they're the character in the story, the client is the character in the story, or somebody who is like the client, so they see themselves as part of that story, right? That's so vitally important. And I love the second point with the idea. Most of our presentations are not stories. They're just situations or solutions. That's it. That's what we think everybody wants, but that's not what people want. People want to be taken on this journey and see themselves in the story to the natural resolve, which is exactly what all of my listeners, all of the financial planners are trying to do, is to get somebody to take action willingly take action. So let's talk a little bit about that, because mythology and storytelling has been around. And I've been quoted in saying this. One of the reasons why storytelling is the first part of our perfect content formula is because we've been telling stories since we were cave people sitting around a fire eating mostly cooked meat, right? And so why is story so powerful when it comes to persuasion?
There is evidence from some of the latest neuroscience research that what happens inside the brain when we encounter a story is similar to the activity we see in the brain when a human being solves problems. So when we encounter a story, what we're actually doing is we're practicing solving problems. And who doesn't want to have some sort of insights into how to solve their problems? I'd love to tell you a quick story here, Matt. I have been working with a financial team this last year for the first time in my life. It's the first time I've ever taken that chance and taken that risk to work with a team of financial advisors. What they did was offer me a better story about who I could be. And Matt, they didn't spend a lot of time trying to convince me how great they were, but they invited me to consider how great I could be if I just told a different story with the money I had been entrusted with. And if I were able to change some of the narratives that I had around money, that I could be someone completely different. And it was so compelling. It was such a powerful invite into being someone else that I wanted to be in the world that I immediately said, yes, these are people that I want to sign up with. And shout out to Bona Fide Financial Advisors, because they, for the first time in my life, showed me the value of financial advising wasn't just in the logic of making numbers add up and make sense, but the true value was actually in the heart. These were like soul decisions. They were emotional for me. Where I'm spending my money, where I want to save my money, what I want to do with my money. I'd love to tell you, Matt, that I was constantly using logic to make all those decisions. No, I was using emotion. And then I would go and look for evidence to back up that emotional decision. And rather than tell me, shame on you, John, for using emotion, they leaned into it. They said, actually, this is part of telling a better story, is understanding you holistically, understanding you as a human being and not just as a calculator. And for me, that story was very compelling and it caused me to change my behavior. And now I can't even fathom what life was like before I started working with the financial advisors that I work with.
So here's the deal, brother. We could deconstruct the hell out of that, and that could be an entire other show. Because, and in fact, that from a behavioral economic, there are some really wonderful thought leaderships that organization is obviously paying attention to, because that is actually what people do. They make their decisions based off emotion and they try to support that with facts. In fact, one of our friends, her name is Christine Lucan, she's got a podcast called Money is Emotional, which is fantastic and really dives into this. But something else just came out of that that was very interesting to me. So what intrigued you was the story that those advisors said to you, and then they used that story to meet you where you were at, to include you in this story, and then now the stories are running parallel. When you're helping somebody craft a story, or when you're helping somebody, or when you're hearing a story, right? You said that neurologically, there's some very interesting things happen, like decision-making components. How do you, as a storytelling consultant, also help people listen to stories better so that they can actually hear what's being said so that hopefully they can provide them with better guide?
Matt, this is such an important question, because I think whenever we're in the role of a consultant, and I am there myself, I'm a story consultant, we have this great temptation to do all the talking. because we have all these great things to say and all these great things to share. And I have learned the power of a single word with three letters, and that word is why. Asking people why. The financial team that I was working with, yes, they asked me initially about my values, probably something that's fairly common for a financial advisor to ask of their client. However, they asked me a much more important question immediately after that. And it was a question that was one word, three letters, why? They asked me, why do these things matter to you? What experiences are you bringing into this situation that have caused you to value these things? What they really did, Matt, is they invited me on an internal journey to explore myself and my relationship with decision making, my relationship with choices. And that internal journey has come to inform all of our conversations about my relationship with money. I'll tell you this, I was someone who previously felt like I am a bit ignorant when it comes to matters of finance. I haven't always been great with money. And so I felt like there was this relationship between me and a financial consultant that was, you have all the knowledge and the power, I know nothing, and so I just need you to give me all this information. And that, come to find out, was not at all what I needed. I needed someone who could understand where I was coming from and then help guide me where that they knew would be good for me to go. I didn't just need information. I needed an invitation towards going inside of myself and finding the meaning that I was looking for in the decisions that I was making around money.
You now ascribe the epiphany, the learning that you had about yourself to that financial services firm, which means that you're going to be a freaking loyal client, that you're probably going to refer a bunch of business to them, right? And that you've already on a podcast that, by the way, goes out to thousands of advisors, just called them out, right? Which is exactly the sort of fandom that we want our listeners to really, really grab. Okay. I love the question why. And I also think it's really important from a storytelling perspective for advisors to empower their clients to tell the story. But what happens a lot of times that we have a lot of issues with, John, is the advisors always feel like they're in presentation mode. They are in sales mode. How can you interrupt that pattern by infusing storytelling into that sales or a communication of who they are as process?
That is such an important question because we do have certain modes that we go into when we are consulting and other people are paying us for our advice and our guidance. All of us feel that responsibility in that moment. Part of what we have to do, however, is begin to trust the process. And the process is not this one-way information dump. The process is this back and forth dance between client and consultant. And if we can look at it as a dance, yeah, we're going to lead in the dance. But if you just pick that client up and start moving them all over the floor, it's not going to be a very graceful experience for them. Part of what makes a good experience for a client is also what makes for a good story. And that is, there's always a bit of vulnerability in the story. We always find out something that is going on under the surface or behind the scenes. And vulnerability of saying, you know, coming into a relationship as your consultant, I want you to know, I grew up in a household that was not good with money. And that's why it became so important to me. Saying something like that and just sharing even the smallest bit of your own story, your own experience, that vulnerability automatically makes me want to meet you halfway and tell you a little bit about my story. And then what is the story we could create together? It takes both sides bringing something to craft that story. But asking good questions is really, I think, at the heart of it. If you're wanting to develop this relationship with your client where you can craft a better story together, it starts by asking that client some questions, not just the typical questions that, yes, you have to ask this and this and this, but what are the questions that are going to invite a deeper relationship around actually moving that client towards who they want to be. There's an identity piece to storytelling that is so key and so important. And that identity comes down to the fact that we are always all trying to figure out who we are all the time. And it's changing all the time. And I may come into a meeting with you one week and have this sense of, oh, I feel very entrepreneurial this week. And I really want to take some risks with my money. And maybe the week I'm coming in, I just took a bath on the stock market and I just lost a bunch of money and I'm feeling pretty conservative and cautious. The story of who we are is changing all the time. So finding ways to continue the journey with the client as the story ebbs and flows and changes, that's where the art form of being a good consultant comes in. And it is an art form.
One of the things that you said earlier that I know advisors need to pay closer attention to is, so John, you might come into me and I'm a financial advisor, right? And you might have just gotten some bad news, or maybe you didn't seal the deal on a big business opportunity. So you are feeling more conservative, right? Because this really happens. But there's something about you, John Booker, that doesn't change, which is your values. And so being able to reset that and understanding your client's story, especially when it comes to values, and especially if you can parrot some of that back to them to show that you are listening, really changes the game. In our process here, we have, so when a client comes in, so the first three podcasts that they're supposed to do, the first one is they have to tell their story. Who are you? Why are you a financial advisor? Why did you choose this path? What do you do outside of work? And John, here's the crazy thing, and I'm actually asking you for advice here for our business, is why are advisors so resistant to telling that story? Because that's, so in our process, so when they actually adhere to the process, one of the things that we always find is episode one is the most listened to episode, and it consistently goes up over time. So if somebody comes in at episode 30, because we track that, almost every one of them goes back to hear what we refer to as the origin story. But why do you think there's such a resistance there?
We have such a difficult time convincing ourselves that we might should listen to someone else. You'd think this would be the simplest thing in the world, but all of us have this survival mechanism in the back of our brains that says, I know what's best for me, and I alone have access to that information. This is what's so powerful about storytelling, is the only way that that changes is when we hear a story of someone else's experience that causes us to challenge our own beliefs. People don't change their minds or the beliefs based on information. You can give someone all the facts and the figures in the world, but if you see someone living out their life and their story, and it challenges what you think and how you think the world works, it's the only effective thing in changing who human beings are and changing the decisions that they make. So if you have financial professionals coming in and they hear you need to do this in the very beginning, it sometimes can be a really difficult hump to get over to consider maybe they know what they're talking about, because there's a little voice that comes in that says, yeah, that probably works for everyone but me. And we always convince ourselves that we are the exception to the rule. In storytelling, there's this archetype about the magical orphan. Have you ever thought about how many stories involve a magical orphan? It's Luke Skywalker, it's Harry Potter, it's Alice in Wonderland, it's Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz. Magical orphans everywhere in storytelling. We all want to believe that we are this magical orphan that has this completely different experience than anyone else. And it's so rarely true. I saw a statistic one time that said 85% of people think they have an above average sense of humor. That means a lot of people are fooling themselves, right? We don't want to accept the fact that we may fall into the same pitfalls that everyone else does. We believe our circumstances are so different. But here's the thing. This is why storytelling has been so effective throughout the millennia, is we keep telling the same stories over and over and over again because these stories are thematically true. And even when it seems like that moment in the story where the hero is not going to be able to escape the dragon, they're not going to be able to find the treasure, even in the back of our minds when we know, of course, this is going to have a happy ending. Of course, they're going to do this. We sometimes even will watch the same movie over and over again. And we feel like, oh man, Indiana Jones is going to get run over by that boulder this time. We get all nervous about it. But we still enjoy the experience that's happening. I'll conclude this thought by saying this, Matt. I am a big fan of the mythologist Joseph Campbell. I do work with the Joseph Campbell Foundation. And Joseph Campbell once said something. He said, people are not so much looking for the meaning of life as much as they are the rapturous experience of being alive. I would suggest to you, Matt, that as we're guiding clients towards what may be good decisions, people are not always convinced they have to have a meaning around everything, but people want to know what it is to live and not just to exist. There's such a difference between existing in the world and really living. And what people want to experience in their lives, and they want to make sure their money can be a vehicle for, is that rapturous experience of being alive.
So if somebody wants to go ahead and reach out to you to help them with their story, hire you as a speaker, anything along those lines, where should they go?
It's very simple. My website is tellingabetterstory.com. You can find all my social media there. I highly encourage you to sign up for my email list on my website. If you do, I have a brand new ebook that I've just put out called Understanding Storytelling. I'll give it to you for free if you'll sign up for my email list. This will allow you to not only get tips and tricks and ideas about what's happening in the world of storytelling out in culture, but also you'll be able to keep track of where I'm speaking and where you can see me when I'm on television or when I'm on this podcast or that podcast. So I invite people to go to my website, tellingabetterstory.com.
I don't always have time to ask this question, but it's one of my favorite questions to ask, which is, what should I have asked you that I didn't?
Been all a flutter if you had asked me about is, what is the story you are trying to tell with your money? And I'd love to answer that question for you, because the story I'd like to tell with my money is that I was wise, but I was kind. I feel like we live in a world that wisdom can be a very subjective thing, and what one person feels is wise may not be what another person feels is wise, but I feel like kindness is one of those things that we know it when we see it, and we live in a world that is lacking in kindness. And I know outside of the nonprofit sector, kindness is not a word we often associate with money. But I believe that money being a vehicle can be a vehicle to allow us to be kind. And I don't just mean by giving money away, because that money actually can transform who we are and becomes an invitation into being who we want to be. Resources allow us to be better people if we choose to be. And that's what I want to choose to be is wise and kind.
John Booker, dude, I'm just so happy you were here. Thank you very much for all of your wisdom. I have a feeling this is going to be a very widely shared episode because I know financial services professionals are always looking for ways to make a deeper connection with their clients. And as you have said, storytelling is the key. It isn't the greatest new product, isn't the greatest pie chart, it isn't the best pie chart, bar graph. What it is really, truly being able to make a true emotional connection with your clients. And there's no better way to do that except through story. So for John and all of us here at Proudmouth, this is Matt Halloran, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Thanks for listening to the Top Advisor Marketing Podcast, brought to you by Proudmouth. If you want to know more about how you can be your own loud, visit us at proudmouth.com and sign up for the Pod Rocket Academy. Through courses and office hours led by professional podcast producers and digital marketers, you will learn everything you need to know to become the trusted subject matter expert you were meant to be.